Folks, Matthew 24, here in verse 3, I think it is, it says that they came to him privately, the apostles did, and they said, tell us, when shall these things be? The apostles had a lot of questions, didn't they? And some of you have a lot of questions, too, and we've gotten a lot of inquiries from the viewers lately. We decided to do a couple of shows. We did one last week. And we decided we're going to continue with that this week, and we're going to answer some of the topics that our viewers have said they'd like to hear more about. So we're going to do that this week. You're going to enjoy this. It's going to be very helpful, and we're going to start out with something about the coming eclipse just a few days from right now. So stand by. And welcome, everybody. Prophecy in the Spotlight here, Brother Dan Goodwin and Dr. Charles Hiltabill. We're going to jump right in this fast. This is, by the way, this is your last opportunity to help us for this coming quarter. This is the last program, I think, that will air, and then the bill is due. So if you can help us, write a check, go to the website, hit the donate button, or call the 800 number. Somebody can help you with that. Boy, we would sure appreciate it. We're right at the edge of this thing, and we're, you know, if you can help even just a little bit, it'd be a big help to us. All right, Doc, last week we talked about some topics that our viewers asked if we could discuss.
Yeah.
We did. We got a little ways. We didn't get too far down the page.
So we'll never get all the way through that, but anyway.
But one of the things that was asked was about this solar eclipse coming, and I said, well, you know, we already did a show on that, but then there's so much more.
Yeah. Yes.
So let me just very quickly just tell them the main thing that you and I discussed, and I want you to talk about that other stuff that you brought up. The main thing that we see in the eclipse is the fact that it's number 9 since America was founded. There were 2 during the Revolutionary War. I'm talking about complete solar eclipses, which doesn't happen very often. There was 2 during the Revolution, 2 during the Civil War. And then there's 2 here at the end time, and we're at war constantly now. They all seem to revolve around wars.
They do.
And but not only that, in 1840 there was a famine in Illinois, northern Illinois mainly.
Great drought.
And so farmers moved down to southern Illinois because of the Ohio River and the Mississippi. So there's fertile ground there. Even if you don't have rain, you got water. And they began to call things they began to think of Egypt like it was the story of Egypt and Joseph. Mm-hmm. And so there are towns, Cairo, Illinois, that's an Egyptian name.
Yeah.
In fact, southern Illinois, in fact, where we're sitting is part of that, right?
Yes, we're part of what's called Little Egypt.
Little Egypt. It's the whole bottom half of Illinois, I guess. And they got that because of that famine in 1840 or somewhere thereabouts. And so... you and I look at it, the main thing here that gets my attention is the story of Joseph in Egypt, the 7 years of plenty, which we just had under Donald Trump.
And now 7 years later.
And then the last 7 years was the famine came. Mm-hmm. And there's no doubt, I've been telling people for months, and I know you have too, that something bad's coming. We are headed down a bad road.
Yes.
We're going $100 trillion in debt every 100 days in America.
We can't keep... That's unsustainable.
This thing's going to crash. It's going to crash hard.
Yeah.
There's food production plants all over the country burning to the ground.
Did you see that map?
No one's even investigating.
There's a map out there with all of them. It blew my mind when I saw the unreal.
We're under attack. I mean, how come nobody's investigating that? The train wrecks all over the place. Yeah. So America is going down a bad road. It could be we're just getting into the final 7-year famine.
It could well be. And one of the things about is I think, and we did an update on it just recently, but I think we need to understand that it's not only just a solar eclipse.
Right.
At the same time, the planets are aligning themselves. On that exact day, that morning, you'd be able to see with the naked eye three planets, and with, say, a pair of good binoculars, you could see the fourth planet all kind of stacked up in a line. If we were in that morning, if you were in Jerusalem, you could look east, and you could see all these things stacked up. And on the other side of the sun, they're stacking up. And so at one given time during this month that's coming, and on this day, the alignment of the planets, according to the computer that has all of this mapped out, when you ask it, how often will this alignment take place along with this kind of a pattern of the moon and sun? How often will this, and it's one in 19 million years, the other is one in 32 million years. That tells us this is a once in creation event.
And then we go back to Genesis 1.
Yes.
Where God created the sun, moon, the stars. Mm-hmm. He said, first thing he said, they're for signs.
Day number four, and, yes.
But then he says he set them. Yes. In the firmament. In other words, he placed them in a certain spot.
He set them in their orbit so that their light would be, I don't have time to look at the all of that. But anyway, yes, he set them in their order,
and the star,
knowing that in the future this is what's going to happen.
The star of the wise men saw 4,000 years after creation. God planned that.
On that day.
It was planned by God that star would appear for them
to
see.
So that tells me that God alone does know the day and the hour. Amen.
And he put these solar eclipses are all on purpose, the way God said everything.
Well, he said out of four things, he said the first one's for signs. That doesn't mean we always understand and know those signs. And then when you get the New Testament, the Bible tells us that signs are for the Jews and the Gentile seeks after wisdom or knowledge. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't use them to speak.
Where those two eclipses meet in the middle, I'm talking about 7 years ago, 2017, August, it went one way, and then one's going the other, but they meet in Carbondale.
This one's going this way, well, that went that way.
Where the X is, is right there in Little Egypt,
Carbondale, right over Illinois. Right over the heart of Little Egypt.
We could be there in 25, 30 minutes from here.
So to answer that question, there must be something to it. If there's more than just the eclipse involved, and it's a once in a creation event, it must be pretty important.
All right. And it's coming up in just a few days. And there are some people who feel like this alignment of the planets could have some sort of effect on electronics.
It could have an effect.
People are cautioning to be ready for maybe some power outages.
Who knows what the gravitational pull will do? Along with the sun and its sunburst and all of that, all of it could play into a major event.
Okay, Doc. Well, let's try to hit some more of these. Somebody asked if we would talk about Psalm 83. So I'm going to let you do that. That's your area. I think.
Have a CD on that. If they want to go to my bookstore, Psalms 83 is a list of nations. In the first five verses, it gives you a list of the nations that are federated together against Israel. These are all in a circle all the way around. In other words, each one of these nations, when that prophecy was given, bordered Israel. So today what you do is you find those nations that border Israel and you can get the current name of those. Let's say you're talking about Jordan. Well, Jordan is not only Jordan, but Jordan is also actually Ammon and Moab and Edom. Those are the three. And they are modern-day Jordan. And what you're seeing, I believe right now, is a possibility of fulfillment of that. Psalms 83 is an appreciatory. It means I'm beseeching God through prayer on our behalf. And part of that psalm is reminding God of things he did in the past to help Israel. And so it's saying that, God, we need your help. And it appears that at least five fronts, And right now, Israel is already dealing with four fronts. Mm-hmm. They've got the Houthis all the way to the south, but they're down here. And then you've got the out of the Gaza, the Hamas, and whatever it is of God. I forget whatever the other name is. And then you got out of what's called the West Bank today, we know as Samaria and Judea. You have over there, you're having problems. It's going to get worse. And then you have coming out of Syria. You've got the problem just north of Golan Heights of Syria. And then you've got out of Lebanon up there, Hezbollah. You have everything that the Bible says in Psalms 83 already in play. And when Hamas is destroyed, and I think they probably will, because if I've read right, it says, I believe in verse 18, the last verse, so that all the world will know that Jehovah alone is God.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting statement, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because the Islamist guy cries out, Allah Akbar, Allah, he is the God. And it's amazing, why would the Holy Spirit have the penman write so that all the world will know that Jehovah alone is God? Mm-hmm. And so I think Psalms 83 is very probable what we're seeing happen right now.
Okay. All right, well, quickly, I'll deal with this one. We was asked to deal with this, the spirit of fear and anxiety in these last days. And during the update that you folks didn't see, it's on YouTube, we actually read Luke chapter 21, verse 25, talking about the signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and this distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. But then verse 26 says this, men's hearts failing them for fear.
Yeah.
And it's true, Doc, people today are filled with anxiety. People are not sleeping enough. People are taking sleeping pills and drugs and things to calm their nerves. That's a sign of the last days. It really is.
Absolutely.
And I think what they're asking is, why is this? Why is this here? And I'll tell you why. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Mm-hmm. I think the absence of faith brings fear. And I don't think the two go together. You get away from God, you get away from the Bible.
That's it.
You're going to be living in fear and anxiety. Lester Olof, the old preacher from back in the 70s, he was always preaching on people popping pills. He wasn't talking about drug use. He was talking about prescriptions.
Yeah.
People taking drugs to calm their nerves. And he was always telling them, you don't need that. You need the Bible. You need God. And, we're a nation of drug-infested, drug-addicted. There's preachers preaching in their pulpits who are on medication.
It's sad. There are a lot. But if you get your eyes off the author and finisher of our faith and you get your eyes on the world, it'd be easy to get discouraged.
And good question. We thank you. And I didn't write down a name for that one. So let's turn the page here. There are some that we're skipping that we're going to come back and do something on later. We had some good stuff come up. The red heifer came up. I think we talked about that a little bit.
We did not long ago.
And, and of course, my good friend Michael Samuel Smith has a brand new DVD. I'm going to see if I can get something going with that here in the near future. He's added to what he has done. He has met all these people.
Yes.
Got videos of them.
The guy that raised that red heifer down
he's
there.
In Texas.
They work with they're part with our museum as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you spend like 1 minute, Doc, on Sherry is asking, explain the violent weather in the last days.
Violent weather? Well, there's always been violent weather. The thing is, today, because of technology, you're made aware of violent weather anywhere in the world 24/7. Whereas years ago, you would have never known if they'd had a hurricane or whatever it was in Africa, but today you'd know it immediately. And so I don't think that it's much. The Lord said it would be seed time and harvest all the way through to the end. And so there's always been climate change. There's always been something changing. And there's always been violent weather. It's just today we have the ability to be aware of it immediately where we weren't before.
Okay. Why most churches, and by the way, the Red Heifer, Marty and Lorraine asked that, and we're going to do some more on that. And if you'll contact me, Marty and Lorraine, I'll tell you how to get Brother Smith's newest video on that. Okay, let's see. Doc, let's talk about, they're asking why most churches will not discuss Israel.
That's a good question. You need to ask your pastor that. Amen.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Why it would be. Because one third of our Bible is prophecy. And yet the greater majority of preachers are seemingly afraid. Even you, I don't know about you, Dan, but a lot of times when I'm invited to church for the first time, within just a few minutes, the pastor will say, well, one of the reasons I had you come, Dr. Hiltabiddle, is because this is just not an area I'm really, really up on good. And that's a shame because a third of our Bible is prophecy.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because they're afraid to make a mistake. Well, if you don't make a mistake, it's because you're not doing something.
I think we got away from it because of some of the date setters of the past.
Yeah, that's part of it, too.
And that's a bad excuse.
Yeah, that's a poor excuse, but yes. And some people would say, well, that's coming across that way. And I'm just going to stick with the basics. Well, God gave us a whole lot more than just the basics in the Bible.
Yeah.
But you ought to ask your pastor why don't I? And if he doesn't want to, I'd be finding me a church where they do.
All right, here's a good one, and I get this one a lot. And I got to be honest, I'm on the fence. I'm not sure on this one. The question was asked about Daniel chapter 12. It talks about instead of 1260 days in the second half, it talks about 1290 days. And then you read a little further, and blessed are those who come to the 1335 days. Mm-hmm. So there's an extra 30 days, and then there's an extra 90 days there.
Yep.
And I've always answered it this way, but I know you have another possibility, and yours may be more right than mine. I've always said there's no doubt the tribulation is exactly two halves, 1260 and 1260.
That's a given.
Comes up to 2,520 days. Mm-hmm. That's irrefutable. Mm-hmm. Now, when God talks about at the second half, he counts 1290, and then he counts 1335. It's one of two things. It's either the second half is overlapping, going before the middle starting, and then and he's counting days that way. Or share what you told me while I was eating breakfast.
I've come to think that it probably has to do with after the 2,550 days, after the 7 years is completed, the setting up of a kingdom, because at the end of the tribulation is going to be a complete world makeover in its topography. Complete. And I think that it has to do with setting up the goat and sheep judgment of nations. I think it has to do with setting up the what we would call ambassadorships in all of the nations, because everybody from every nation has to come over into Jerusalem once every year during the millennial reign. And so I think that it is something that is beyond the 2520 in relationship to the millennial reign.
Because there's something about the millennial temple that's involved here.
And there will be a new temple
and
built.
And there may be some months there that there's something that
there's
has
something
to happen.
There's something happening. Because if you've read your Bible, and you do know that when that last vial of wrath is poured out, an earthquake is greater than the world has ever experienced, all of the buildings are toppled. And so that tribulation temple that the devil has incarnated himself into, it's going to be destroyed. And so we do know there's going to be a millennial temple. I believe it's is Ezekiel that is found measuring the temple that's to come. That's the millennial temple that he's measuring.
Yeah.
And so, yes, so that's got to be, well, I think it'll be somewhere along immediately.
So that would answer. But the main thing people realize is the tribulation is set in stone. It's 7 years, but it's not years as we count years.
Right.
It's sabbatical cycles.
Right.
It's 2,520 years. The Bible is very plain. First half is 42 months, 1,260 days. Second half is 42 months, 1260 days.
And we know also, Dan, it is the last 7 years of a 490-year prophecy.
Right.
The first 483 years was fulfilled exactly to the day, and so will it
be. Yep, exactly. And their sabbatical cycles have a beginning and an ending. That's very important there. And the Jubilee is right in the middle of all that as well. Now, there's some that I've circled on here that we're not going to deal with. We're going to do a whole show on. So if I don't hit yours, it either didn't pertain to what our prophecy program, or we're gonna do a show on it at a later date. I've got this, Doc. How does AI play into this? Is Natasha? Natasha asks, how does artificial intelligence play into prophecy?
Well, I think it's going to play a big role. Number one, it is allowing. In our world today, we're only able. The best of us can only use about 20% of our brain power. Because of the atmospheric pressure. Before the flood, they were able to use 100% of their brain. What did you find in Genesis chapter 6? Their thoughts was evil only continue. Their imaginations and thoughts were evil continually. Here's what artificial intelligence is enabling us to do. It's enabling us to use our imaginations beyond our physical abilities. And secondly, it's going to be a part of the deception that's going to come in.
Yeah.
I mean, you're watching right now. You don't know if you're watching on television. You don't know if you're looking at a real person or an AI-generated person.
Well, they're doing commercials about some diet pill.
Oh.
And they're showing people that everybody knows, but it's not.
It's not
saying
them.
That. They're,
no, not them at all.
Yeah.
And thirdly, I think AI is going to be a part of the metrics for the Mark of the Beast system.
Yeah.
And for the Antichrist.
And the image of the beast and all
that. Yes, all of that.
And, yeah. All right, well, we've still got a few minutes, Doug. Let's see if we can finish these. I've got at least two more here. I've got Romantic 340. That's their handle on YouTube here. I don't know what that means, but their question was, explain the fig tree generation. And I think that's pretty obvious. The fig tree, mm-hmm. Matthew 24.
Mm-hmm.
We believe the fig tree is a type of Israel.
Well, we're certain of that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he said, when you see the fig, when it has leaves, know that this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled.
Right. Well, that's in Matthew. In Luke chapter 21, I believe it's 21 or 17. I can't remember which one of the two it is. But anyway, he says the fig tree and all of the trees. Trees are always used symbolically of nations. And it's not difficult. I have a CD in my bookstore on the fig tree that will help you easily understand this. The fig tree is Israel, and all the other trees are the ones we mentioned a while ago that border Israel. They've all come into existence since World War II and for final end-time prophecy.
And Israel became legally
1948.
Acknowledged by the world as a nation, mm-hmm. 1948.
And so a generation. Here, let me give you two things, Dan. Number one, the 90th Psalm is written by Moses. It's the oldest psalm in the Psalms. And it says there a generation is 70 or by reason of strength, 80. But let me give you another thing. A fig tree and all the trees, the greater majority of your Bible is written in agricultural terms. A generation means in agriculture. From the moment the radical, that's the root system, begins to come out of the seed, from the moment that that starts, the generation of life begins, and its purpose is to bring about its fruit in the end. So a generation could mean actually 70, 80 years, or what, 100, some would people say, or it could mean, as he says,
figuratively speaking,
figuratively speaking, like the seed, from the moment you see these things start, know that it's not going to stop until the fruit is here.
Okay, Doc, there's one more, and I'm going to add one thing to the fig tree, but mm-hmm. Revelation 22:14, you may want to, I have it open, but
okay, you got it.
This
there.
Is Van from Pennsylvania. He's asked the question about Revelation. He would like us to explain what we believe that means, 22:14. And while you're thinking on that, Doc, I have said for several years, I believe the fig tree took root in 1948, but they did not have Jerusalem. I personally believe the fig tree budded in 67 after the Six-Day War when they got Jerusalem and the miracles that took place there. That's just my opinion. So, Doc, we got 2.5, 3 minutes. I'll read this verse for the audience. Van from Pennsylvania is asking us to explain our view of Revelation 22:14. I'll start at verse 13. I'm going to start in verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be, as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they, and here's the verse, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. Well, I'll tell you, I want to start off, Doc, and just give this, what it's not saying. It's not saying that you got to obey commandments and live a perfect life to get to heaven. It's not saying that.
This has nothing to do with getting to heaven.
Okay.
This is all about way beyond the present creation into a land of no time.
So this is this the kingdom age or after the kingdom
this
age?
This is after the kingdom age.
Okay.
Anything after chapter 21 is kingdom age. It is beyond the kingdom age. Okay. It's so, in a eternal state.
So everyone's already saved there.
That's right.
They're in eternity. I mean, okay. So anything else you wanted to say about that? Blessed he that they that do his commandments and that they may have right to the tree of life. And
the command... When you look at all of that, when you look at all of this together, you realize that that you have the river of life. Here you're going to have other information that's given about. We're talking about the celestial city. We call it often the New Jerusalem, which comes down to the new earth that's going to be made after this earth is melted in fervent heat.
You know what it could be saying here, and it's just a guess. He could be saying, blessed are they that do his commandments. In other words, blessed are you that came out of the tribulation, came out of the kingdom age, and you're saved, and you're a believer, and you now have right, will keep his commandments and have right to this.
But the tree of life was in the Garden of Eden.
Right.
God removed it, because had Adam eaten of the tree of life, he'd have forever been a lost person. And so we find that here it is again here, and you're going to find associated with this, you're going to find on both sides of the river, 12 manner of fruit for the healing of the nations, all this. We don't know for certain about what all of that means, but it has nothing to do with getting to heaven. These are folks that have already born again or there.
All right. Well, we skipped a few that we're gonna do an actual whole show on, so don't panic. We're going to do a show about... Where's America in prophecy? We're going to do a whole show on that very soon. We're going to do a show on we're going to do something more on the red heifer. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the program. I hope the last 2 weeks we've answered some of your questions and helped you with some of these topics. There wasn't enough time to go into great detail, obviously. Well, okay, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Keep your eyes on them skies.